knowledge there is much pain. Very interesting. Solomon, the wisest man, he understood this. And God said, I offer you something simple. This isn't complicated. It isn't hard. It's something you can do every day. And it's something for everybody. Right? I mean, so many times, I get this, you can sit and you can listen to a message like this and you go, well, this must be for somebody else. It's not. It's for you. And this morning, you just got to go, this is for me. This is for me. This isn't for somebody else. This is for me. Because whether you know it or not, God has been at work in your life since before you were ever born. We're told that in Psalms 113. Before yet one day was, he knew me. Okay? Before you were formed in the womb, he knew you. He's been at work in your life since the day you've been born, and he will be at work in your life until the end. And you go, well, I can't see it. I can't find it. I don't see the good. Okay? That's fine. But it doesn't change the fact that he's been there. And it doesn't change the fact that he comes to us every day and he asks us to simply posture ourselves to be aware of his working. Because honestly, most of the days that I don't see God, I'm just not postured for it. I can, I read a story. I think it was Eugene Peterson who got into bird watching. And he went for a ride with a guy who was a bird watcher. He just loved bird watching. And they drove through this little town. I'm skipping half the story. And they drove through this town and they got through to the other side. And the guy asked him, how many different species of birds did you see when we drove through this little town? And it was like a blink of an eye town, you know? And he goes, I didn't see any. The guy goes, I saw 9 different species of birds when we went through that town. The reason he saw them is because he was postured to see them. Now, I'm not saying we have to make things up. I'm just saying God is active in your life every day. It doesn't depend on whether you're doing well or not. He is there. And this is the gift of simplicity, that he comes and he says, I want you to be aware of my working because I want you near me. It's an invitation to nearness. I say that. What we do here on Sunday, we come a little more postured to be aware of God's working. We kind of expect it when we come to church, and many times we're a little disappointed if we don't experience it. But it's not because we sang God into the place or I preached him down. It's because he's here, and we posture ourselves to be aware of his working. It should be every day that we posture ourselves to know his working, because he is at work. He created you with purpose. And you go, I don't feel like I'm accomplishing his purpose. Well, I don't most days either. But more and more, rather than me looking for the feeling, I'm just going, God, I want to posture myself to be aware of what you're doing. All right. So, pop quiz. What are the two things? What are just the two elements of the gift of simplicity? What's the first one? Oh my goodness, we're going to have to start over. No. What's the first one? Today is the most important day to God. Jeannie, you get a gold star today. Today is the most important day to God. I really pray. You know how it is sometimes you find something that you're excited about and you kind of ride that horse for a while and then you look for something else. But I really pray that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I am still getting up and reminding myself, God, today is the most important day to you because this is the day you're working in right here. You're doing something and I don't want to miss it. I'm posturing myself to see what you're doing today. Today's the most important day to God. And what is the most important thing that you can do today? Number 2. To be in step. Jeannie gets 2 gold stars. Jeannie takes my notes. To be in step. which is not a matter of knowing everything. There are some places, again, we're going to see today, there's some things we're told. We know where we can put our feet. But again, it's that posturing to go, God, what are you doing? Because I want to be in step with you. And I have said this over quite a few weeks, and I remember this. Sometimes it comes with a nudge, and sometimes it comes with a shout. And over the last couple of weeks, I have just stopped and gone, God, you're nudging me. I don't understand it, but you're nudging me, and I move that direction. And as I move according to the nudge, it opens up, and I go, oh, that's what you were doing. It wasn't what I had in mind, but it was what he was doing, because he's always at work beyond my senses. That's what makes him God, and that's why I need to follow. So I had a couple of interesting observations in the practice this week, and both observations come from promises made in the scripture. So the first one is from Psalm 16:11. Here's what it says. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, I've leaned on that. I've gone back to that passage of scripture a lot of times in my life. But as I looked at it this week, I realized something. You will make known to me the path of life. You know where you come to know the path of life? Today. And it's as I posture myself to know it. I don't have to spend 3 hours in prayer every morning. If you do that, that's okay. I'm glad you do. Each of us find a place, but that isn't what postures me. A posture is something I carry with me all day. Either you have good posture or you have bad posture, right? You can live like this, right? Or you can live like this, and you should have good posture wherever you go. You should have good posture in your prayer closet. You should have good posture as you sing praise to the Lord, and you should have good posture as you go to work or as you go to the store or as you interact with your family. And he says, you will make known to me the path of life. Where do we walk on the path of life? Well, it's every day. Everything I do, there's an opportunity to be near to the Lord. I don't equate it to a feeling. It's just a reality. God, you're near. You're leading me in a path of life. I can't always sense you, but I'm ready for the nudge or the shout. So he says, he'll lead me in a path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So if I'm on the path of life with him, if I'm postured to be aware of what he's doing, whether I feel it or not, I'm in his presence. And in your presence is what? Fullness of joy. Now, the literal rendering of that is face to face with you, there's presence of joy. And as we've talked about again and again and again, science has proved out that joy is released in a human being when they are in the presence face-to-face with another person and they see a look on their face that says, I'm glad to be here with you. Do you know that when you are in the presence of God, he is glad to be there with you? Now, I'm not saying he's glad about where you're at. I'm just saying he's glad to be with you, walking you out, right? Or maybe walking with you in something good. But joy, okay, is not a good feeling. Joy is the strength that we need in the soil of our lives to navigate hard situations. That's joy. In your presence, face to face with you, I find the strength to navigate difficult situations, for you are leading me in a path of life. Are you postured? Are you ready? Are you looking? Are you asking? You go, God didn't do anything. Well, what are you asking him for? What you want or what he wants to do? Because there's a difference most of the time in my life. Right? It's like I said, this week when I responded to the nudges, it wasn't what I was looking for, but I found such a great strength of joy in walking in it. I found myself in the presence of God. I realized that I was inadvertently participating in what he had prepared for me to do. Not because I was smart enough to do it, but just because I went, you know, I think that's the nudge of the Lord. I'm gonna go do that. I'm gonna step out in that. So that was one observation. There's been a strength of joy in my life to navigate some hard things, difficult situations, and even some of the things I felt him nudging me to do, I didn't want to do. I'm like, oh, that's hard. And he goes, just respond, which leads to the second observation, which I got out of 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. You should underline that. Fear is for punishment. So many times when I'm experiencing fear, I have to stop and back up and try to, like, where is this coming from? Because fear is for punishment. When God nudges you to move with him in his presence, is it to punish you? No, he's leading you in a path of life. Now, his discipline does comfort me, and he does that at times, but discipline and punishment are two different things, right? Now, when I was in high school, or junior high, actually, I played a little football. The coaches disciplined us. Sometimes we called it punishment, but it was for two different reasons. They disciplined us to help us be better players. Punishment is the end of something. And the fear involves punishment. And so it goes on to say, the one who fears is not perfected in love. Here was my takeaway. The posture of awareness is yielding all of my faculties to the Lord. I'm going to kind of take two steps with here, so stay with me. So there is no fear in love. Let's find out how this works in the awareness. When I talk about the posture of awareness, God, I'm yielding myself to you, all of my faculties, my mind, my will, my heart, my emotions. What passage of Scripture does that remind you of? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first and the greatest commandment. When you posture yourself to be aware of what he's doing, it is such an expression of love to God, right? Why? Because you've put him front and center, right where he belongs. Even if I don't ever have a feeling or go, wow, I did that today, but I didn't say, that's okay. You're practicing the awareness. And that's what you need to do. You remember, I've told this story a lot of times, but I got to tell it again because I like to tell it. It reminds me. When we first moved here, I got a boat. I needed a boat. I love to fish. And my boat needed some work. And so I got a manual and I went to work and I did the work that needed to be done on the boat. And I'm putting the lower unit back in my boat. And I knew that as soon as I had this back together, I could go fishing. So I get it in, and I am down to the last piece of linkage before I put the top on, and I've got a little C-clip that I need to install on the shift linkage, and it's a special little C-clip, and I'm pushing it on, and the C-clip slipped out of my fingers and went ping, 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 ping. And I stopped, and I was so upset because I want to go fishing. I have not gotten to take this boat out. And I stopped, and with all honesty of heart, not just and off the cuff, it was an honest, I looked up and I said, God, this is not funny. I know you know where that clip went, and I want to know where it's at. And you know, I postured myself. I truly did posture myself because I had an understanding that God does care about things. And I had a nudge. I had a nudge. And the nudge was, I have some extendable magnets. Get an extendable magnet. And I had a little freezer underneath my workbench. Stick the magnet under the freezer. And I went, the clip didn't even go that way. And so for like 5 minutes, I didn't do it. And finally, I thought, what do I have to lose? So I got my magnet, I stretched it out, and I just jammed it under there willy-nilly. Click, and I pulled it out, and there's my clip. And I stopped. I was just in awe. And in that moment, the Spirit of God, ever so gently, spoke in my heart, and he said, Brent, he said, I want you to know me in things that don't matter, so that when I speak to you on something that does matter, you will know it's me. He wanted me to develop a posture of awareness in things that don't matter. Do you know every day there are a lot of things that don't matter? And a lot of times we think, well, why should I look for God there? Because maybe you'll learn to recognize him there so that when it really does matter, there will be no questioning whether or not it was God's nudge. He wants you to know him. My sheep will know my voice. So when I, when I posture myself, it's an expression of love. What did John say? There is no fear in love. When I'm responding to a nudge or a shout, there is no need to be afraid. And this is what I realized this week. I had an appointment that I needed to keep. And really, the nudge came days before when the Lord challenged me just to make the appointment. And I'm getting ready to go, and I'm trying to process this in my head. How am I going to do this? And the Spirit of God just stopped me. He goes, listen, you're getting into the trap of fear. He goes, number one, I didn't ask you to fix it or to work it out. I just asked you to make a phone call. Now go and make your appointment. You don't have to be afraid. There's no fear in loving me. He goes, just show up and let me be God. Be responsive. Just because I asked you to step into something doesn't mean I asked you to become God. I'm just asking you to respond and to be available, to be an instrument in my hand. Let me move you. So I showed up, and from the moment I showed up, God goes, now just listen, because this person has something. They've been walking through some things. They've got some things. They just want to be heard. So I just listened, and then the issue came up, and we talked through it. And I left, and you know, of course, my tendency is after you leave one of these appointments, you start to try to process the information. How could have I done that better? What do I need to say? God said, leave it alone. You did what I asked you to do. Let me be God. Like you made the appointment. There is no fear in love. And there was such a release in that to go, God, I just want to respond. I just want to be aware and I want to respond. Why? Because now I have the joy, the strength of joy, and I've been released from the trap of fear. And it is refreshing, to say the least. So those were just kind of a couple of observations. I want you to know your pastor is practicing this. I don't, this, because I teach this, doesn't mean I got it. It means I'm practicing this. And I want you to practice with me because I believe with all of my heart that your greatest opportunities to make an impact for the kingdom of God are within 5 feet of you every day. Your greatest opportunities aren't out there where you have no influence. Your greatest opportunities are within 5 feet of you every day. And I believe the key to that is just an awareness of what the Spirit of God's doing. We will go about and we will do life, but there are times that he's going to nudge. And most often, it is a nudge. And if I'm so wrapped up in what I'm doing, I'm going to miss the nudge. But in the nudge, right? You go, well, is God mad that I missed the opportunity? No, but you know what? There's a strength of joy that you now don't have in your life. And there's a sense of impending fear that usually comes when we step outside of that. And neither one of those were necessary. You know, there are things that happen that we walk through that are necessary seasons, but there are also unnecessary seasons that we walk through. And I've had enough unnecessary seasons. I mean, the stuff that's necessary is hard enough to walk through, let alone the stuff that's unnecessary. So I want to practice the posture. Again this week, I recognize that the gift of simplicity keeps me free from the trap of fear. I had the awareness of being set free to live. And so much, I guess maybe I had three observations. So much of the struggle that didn't occur this week, okay? Because, like, you ever got to the end of a day or maybe an hour, I don't know, a day or a week, and you go, wow, that was a really good week, right? And you look back, try to figure out, well, I kind of went this week, I went, that was a pretty good week. What made this week feel different? Well, there was a lot of this internal struggle that I experienced a lot of time wasn't there. And I go, okay, why was that? Well, I realized that much of the struggle that didn't occur this week was in the arena of control. You want to know why I had an impending sense of fear when I was on my way to this appointment? Because I was trying to figure out how I was going to control it. And what did God say? Take your hands off of that. Just show up. When I let go of that and I put that back in the Lord's hands, there was a sense of freedom, a sense that I had been set free from the trap of fear. And really, I had. When I am in his presence, right? Remember what David said? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I'm in your presence, right? For you are with me. For you are with me. He set me free from the trap. Why? I didn't have to control the situation. Why? Because I'm in the presence of the one who's in control. So much of the struggle that didn't occur this week was in the arena of control. When I grab the bait stick of control to manipulate life circumstances, the trap of fear is set to close. And we this is kind of going back a few weeks, but we were just, I talked about that, how I just... Lord, I feel like I've been set free from a trap. There's something that's not there. And he goes, well, the trap is fear, but the bait stick of the trap is control. And the bait stick is laden with your own understanding. And when you begin to grab that, that trap of fear closes on you. The only way out of the trap is to relinquish control back into God's hands and allow him to set us free from the trap. Psalms 25:15. Okay, this is another posture of awareness verse. My eyes are continually towards the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. When I posture myself to be aware, number one, he's going to keep me out of the snare. He will. But there are times I still get in the snare. And when I do, there's only one way out, and that is, again, to relinquish control and get my eyes back on him and say, oh, God, right? The struggle kills the animal in the trap, not the trap. God, I'm going to quit struggling. Only you can release. I've got to relinquish control of this to you. The idea of the bait stick, I got this someplace else. But the guy that was teaching this, he told a story. He goes, when he was in Africa, he went out with some natives there that hunted monkeys. And he said what they would do is they would find a tree with a knot hole in it, and they would put nuts inside the knot hole of the tree. And the monkeys would come, and of course they're greedy. these particular monkeys anyway, and they would put their hand in there and they would get a fistful of these nuts. But then their hand was too big to get out of the hole. And he said he watched as these hunters would come with clubs. And that monkey, even though all he had to do was let go, pull his hand out and run, he would not. He held the bait and was clubbed to death. And I'm here to tell you, your enemy will club you to death if you hang on to the bait stick of control. I want to do a little demonstration. I was going to have Ivan help me, but I'll have somebody else help me. Who am I going to have help me? Goodness gracious. You're all bigger than me. Okay, Jade, you can help. Come up here, Jade. And Tyrese, Jade and Tyrese, they were standing up here talking. I'll make them come back. Oh, don't worry about your shoes, Jade. Just come on up. I want to show you something. And this goes into one of the things that we're going to talk about. But it has to do with control. Quite a few years ago, the Lord stopped me one day, and he just, with a question, he said, "Brent, why are you trying to make a liar out of me?" And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, God, why would I try to make a liar? I mean, where am I doing this?" And he brought to mind a passage of scripture instantly. It's Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. He says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap." And he goes, "You watch people sow bad seed, yet you try to rescue them." He goes, "Why are you trying to make a liar out of me? People are going to reap what they sow." And then he gave me another illustration because, and this goes into what we're going to do, but I was trying to get control of some situations and help somebody. Right, but we needed to get control, and God said, "I want to show you something." So Jade, you stand right here. Just turn and face the crowd. All right, Tyrese, you stand. All right, now you turn this way. All right, now you turn this way. You turn this way. All right, now I want you to grab Jade's shoulders and start just rocking her back and forth. This way. It's okay. You can do it. You have my permission. Don't. All right, so. Oh, geez. All right. So you can stop for a minute. So in our lives, we get to make choices, don't we? And I have to choose who I'm going to partner with. And sometimes we make bad decisions, which opens a door, and it gives the enemy sway in our lives. Okay. When he's bigger than I am. So if you grab her and you start swaying her again, and I come in and I try to get control, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get jerked around with her. You want to know why? Because he's bigger than I am, and I'm trying to get control, and that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to walk with, I'm called to love, I'm called to listen. I'm called to do a lot of things, but I am not called to be in control. And when I try to gain control, I'm going to get the snot beat out of me. You want to know why? Because I'm trying to do something God hasn't called me to do. And I'm wrestling with someone they've given control to. Right? So, how do we not end up in that trap? Thank you, guys. It was actually a little early, but I wanted to, I was kind of hoping you'd shake Jade a little more. No, I'm just kidding. So, we progressed through a couple of things, but we've gotten to the trap of fear. The trap of fear. It is really the thing that is most effective in keeping us from the life of simplicity, but it has to do with a desire to be in control. I think this is the one thing that the gift of simplicity addresses more than anything else in my life, because I have to acknowledge that today is God's day. You know, if you look at how Jesus taught us to pray, when he said, talk to his disciples, it was really simple. It's like, be aware that God is at work and he wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done right here on earth, just like it is in heaven. He gets to the end of the prayer, and for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. You're in control. You're in control. God, just help me today to have the daily bread and the substance I need. Help me to know that I'm receiving from your hand and that you're doing these things. So, kind of want to bring all this around to a couple of places that the devil sets the trap of fear. Okay? I think we need to get this, or it's been important to me to recognize this. In light of those observations, I seem to get snared most often in one of two areas, but I believe they're common to all of us. And we were just kind of looking at one here. Over 30 years of ministry, I have observed that there are two dominant areas where the traps are set to capture well-intended people. You know, it's easy to capture somebody that's totally unaware. It's a lot harder to trap an animal or a person that's aware that there are traps set. They're much more cautious. I've seen this, you know, even when you go hunting, there are deer that are big because they understand some things and they avoid some things, but even they can be trapped. Right? And our enemy knows this. And so that's why I put well-intentioned people. Traps are not just for people who are not well-intentioned. They're set for everybody. You know, the devil doesn't care whether you're serving God or you're not. You know, he doesn't care. He wants you in a trap. He wants you to die. You want to know why? Because you were created in God's image. You have purpose, God's purpose in you. Now, whether you're aware of that or not is another thing, but traps aren't just for good people or bad people. They're for everybody, but he especially loves to trap well-intentioned people. Okay? Why? Because chances are you're after the heart of God and you want to do this. Doesn't mean that you're exempt from maybe falling into a trap. And so I found that there's two areas where traps are set, and they happen to be set for enticing two areas of virtue that are hardwired into our very nature by God. If you want to trap a leery critter, you have to get into their nature. Do you know that we're hardwired with some things from God? Do you know that? Do you know you're hardwired with some things from God? These two areas of virtue are, number one, the opposition of evil, and number two, the care for the oppressed. The opposition of evil and the care for the oppressed. These are two areas that I have found that the enemy sets a trap to entice us, to get us into the trap of fear. And what's the bait stick going to be in the trap? Control. It's going to be control. So, let's just see how far we go here. The virtues are not the trap, but the trap is set adjacent to them to try and snare anyone who will take the bait. And there's a couple of things that your enemy knows as he baits the snare for us. One thing that he knows is that we are really hardwired with the desire to oppose evil and to help the downtrodden. He knows that. He knows that that aspect of God is in us. And I don't care where you go or what culture you're in, you're going to find this, that people will be opposed to what they observe as evil. And even in the most dysfunctional of communities, you will find people helping one another, right? If they observe that they're down, it's hardwired into us. It's hardwired into us. The enemy knows that. The second thing he understands is that God has told us that these are issues he cares about and he wants us involved. Man, if I was going to set a trap for you, that's where I would set it. You're already predisposed to be involved, and you understand that the one you love most, that it's important to his heart as well. That's like a salt lick for a deer. That's like a big fat crawfish for a largemouth bass. That's like a chicken dinner for a fox. You're already predisposed to be right there. What a great place to set a trap. In areas that are already close to our hearts. So how do we be involved in what God cares about without ending up in the trap of fear? The opposition of evil. The helping those that are downtrodden. How do we do this? Well, what is the bait stick of the trap? Control. Control. So, as I approach or I see a situation or I feel a nudge, just as I did this week, Lord, make the appointment, show up at the appointment. What was I pondering on my way there? Control. The bait stick was being made available. And I'm here to tell you that if I would have done what I was thinking on my way there, I would have destroyed the opportunity. And I would have left with a horrible sense of heaviness in my heart. God said, I'm not sending you there to be in control. I'm sending you there to be a vessel in my hand. Let me move you. Let me speak through you. Let me direct your steps while you're there. You're not going there to be in control. And as we approach these issues, are we asking ourselves, God, are you in control of me or am I trying to get in control of the situation? Because I'm here to tell you, I have seen the body of Christ do some crazy things over the last couple of years because they're trying to get control. That's a bait stick. That's a bait stick to the trap of fear. And that's exactly what it produces. And rather than edifying the body of Christ and building people up, they're using fear now to control other people. It multiplies. In the opposition of evil and the helping in the downtrodden, control is not the determining factor. God is the determining factor. Am I being moved by him? Am I even aware of what he's doing in the situation? Or do I just have a prepackaged idea of how it should play out? Because that's not a very good posture. Oh God, this is way more complicated, probably way above my pay grade. But you've asked me to stand here. And so here I am. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Show me your way so I can walk with you. In your presence is fullness of joy. God, show me your way so that I can walk with you. As we approach either of these areas of virtue, we need to be particularly tuned to what God is wanting to do as the temptation to gain control and fix will be high. I'm horrible about this. I'm a fixer. I want to fix things. If I see there's something, you know, it looks out of whack in your life, I just want to fix it. You want to know why? Because it hurts me to watch. Right? Doesn't it hurt you when you watch people hurt themselves? It does. I want you to be better. But many times I equate that to me getting control and telling you what you need to do, and then you'll just go off and be better. And that's not the case. Now I've just driven a wedge between me and you. God goes, that isn't what I asked you to do. Oh, and you even did that in my name. Come on. If we remain in step with the Spirit, we will find God releasing life where death reigns as we abide and walk through the situations with Him and with them. And I demonstrated what happens when we try to get control, right? When they're shaking in somebody's life, we don't always know where that's coming from. We don't always know the background. We don't always know what has transpired. And boy, I've been in some situations where I'm trying to hold on to somebody and I'm trying to help them and I'm just getting worn out and God's going, let go. Let go. You can't do that. That's not what I asked you to do. And every time I see that person, there's just this sense of fear about what's coming next. And God goes, well, nothing if you let go. But if you're going to stand there like a monkey with a handful of nuts, you're going to take a beating. Let go. Run. I gotta land the plane. If we remain in step with the Spirit, we will find God releasing life where death reigns. When opposing evil or helping the downtrodden, we must always be aware of the place of abiding we have been given to operate from. Only God can release anyone from the snares of evil and oppression. Our part is to be the instrument held in His hands. And that is a kind of a summary of this last week. I saw people who were stuck. I saw people who were being taken advantage of by the lies of the enemy. And my initial response is, how do I get in control of that? God said, don't. He says, you go and represent me. Love the Lord with all your heart. Relinquish all of your faculties to me, and then go and love your neighbor. And I will show you what you need to do. I will give you the words to say at the appropriate time. I will give you ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand what's really going on. And then you just move with me and you will be an effective instrument in the opposition of evil and the helping of the downtrodden because you left me in control. And when that happens, there is almost indescribable the sense of being set free. Think of how many places I guess the next time it comes up, you don't even have to think about it because it'll come up. All of a sudden you think of something and you have this impending sense of fear. And stop for a moment and just consider how much of that fear is coming from me trying to gain control. Because when I try to gain control, I have to make everything work. And it just doesn't work. It's hard on me. It's hard on you. And to be able to stop and to look at that and go, well, God, if this is today, today is the most important day to you. And in regard to this situation, I just want to remain in step with you. Show me where to place my feet, one step after another. Amen. Father, we thank you that you know our lives. You know our weakness. You know our stumblings. You know that we're sheep-like. You said, you're our shepherd. God, that you bear with us, that you need a rod and a staff to guide us and correct us. But your love for us is great. And you want us to be in step with you. You don't come and go and leave us and come when we're good and leave when we're bad. You're an ever-present help. God, my prayer is that we would be practicing the posture of knowing you and that you would keep our feet from the snare, that you would teach us to walk in the path. On the highway of God, it says, there are no lions. There are no traps. It's where the righteous walk. Who are the righteous? It's those who are looking to see things the way you see it. God, that's our posture. Help us to see life the way you see it, with eyes that see beyond what's natural to us, and ears that hear deeper than shallow things, and a heart that really understands what's going on. God, would you move us and lead us? We ask that you would show us, God, this week where we fall into the traps of fear. Maybe we become accustomed to falling into it. God, show us where we try to gain control where it's not appropriate. God, you have given us authority, and there are places that you asked us to stand and to make decisions, but not every opportunity is for our control. Would you help us to recognize, because there is no fear in love, God, if we are yielding ourselves to you, there should not be an impending sense of fear. God, when we sense that, would you help us, Holy Spirit, to navigate and to untangle and to, God, just get a clear course in front of us for walking after you. Pray that you would go with each one we each face. Various situations, God, that we're uncertain about. But could we rest in what we're certain of? That you are faithful. That you know. That you are in control. That you have a plan. And that we would walk in those things that you have prepared in advance for us to do. We thank you. We ask for the grace, God, grace in abundance to walk in this. And we thank you that when we struggle and we fail, God, you are there to take our hand and lift us up. Maybe be quick to reach for you. Lord, forgive me. God, that I might turn and look for how you see it. God, rather than relying on my own understanding and my broken way of doing things, I want to know your life. I want to know your wholeness. I want to know your peace. I want to know the joy of being in your presence. I want to know the completeness that you've given me in Christ. As I walk out each day with you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. If you